Is this on? Yeah, it is on. Hello, we're coming back. We're back. We're back for the open mic. That's right. Applaud for this shit. Come on. Some folks have submitted to our peer pressure, which is nice to see. Honestly, if everybody, open mics are such a special thing, particularly if you're a younger poet coming out. Long-running series you want to be a part of, you want to meet other people. What? Yeah, what?
John Wentworth is the youngest poet I've
known. He's young at heart. But we'll get to that. But really, it's a great way to involve yourself and to be a part of the community, a very supportive and encouraging community. So make yourselves known. Tell your friends. Yes, these people over at this table are fucking drunks. But we're not starting with any of them. We're starting with Dean Hazelton. Dean, get up here.
Well, it certainly is nice for a young poet to have a chance to read. I'm going to read two short poems. This first one is called Just a Few Questions, Then Back to Work. And that's exactly what it's about. Why is there something instead of nothing? What came before the Big Bang? A murmurous whisper? A thunderous roar? What is time? The average of all clocks? Or the measured pace of being? How old will I be in the afterlife? A callow but energetic 21? A serene but inactive 70? Or both on alternate Thursdays? Why do such questions bedevil me? Why did Adam and Eve eat of the tree of metaphysical curiosity? Is it worse to ask too much or know too little? Perhaps Candide was right. I'll tend my garden as I must. Cut potatoes and bury their eyes in darkness, pull the weeds that choke my onions, chase out the deer that steal my crop, favor the aching back that is hard labor's reward, and cultivate the rich black soil as it imprints a map of work on both my hands. Thank you. And this is an ode on a very important subject. It's an ode on hostess snowballs. I want you. I've always wanted you. When I was a child, you called to me as I trailed behind my mother at the supermarket. She separated us. You're not getting those. They're bad for you. Forbidden fruit is always sweetest. My passion for you grew as I matured. I saw how badly you are named. Snowballs doesn't fit your nature. You aren't a pair of icy, frigid projectiles. You're like a pair of nubile breasts, modestly covered by a pink angora sweater. Warm, soft, mammalian, welcoming. You call to me still, in language earthy and exotic. Come to me. I'm so much more than flour, water, eggs, and leavening. I'll take good care of you. I'm pumped with B vitamins, niacin, thiamine mononitrate, B1, riboflavin, B2, and folic acid. And I know what you want. I've got sugar, corn syrup, high fructose corn syrup, dextrose. There's coconut, sulfite treated. I keep my shape with partially hydrogenated vegetable and or animal shortening, soybeans, cottonseed, or canola oil. Beef tallow. There is mystery in my enzymes, xanthan gum, monoglycerides, stearoyl lactylate, and more. Carmine and Red Lake 40 keep me in the pink, and I use potassium sorbate and sorbic acid to retain my freshness. Sweet child of cuisine and chemistry, proud progeny of the factory floor, let me taste your long-retained freshness. Cast off your cellophane shield and come to me. I'll have you now. Thank you.
So that was the sexiest use of dextrose in a poem I have ever heard. I don't know about, I need to take a minute. I just need to step. Oh yeah. I'll be thinking of that poem later tonight. So these young cherubic poems and their poets and their sexy poems. Next, we have the youngest and sexiest of our poets ever to live, to walk the earth, sex incarnate, Don Wentworth.
Thanks. You can blame this on Chris Collins. If you were here earlier, he called me out, and frankly, I'm from New Jersey, okay? You just don't call people out. You just don't do it. I didn't have any material here. I'm standing in front of you. I don't know. Here we go. Three haiku, all new. First one took place at the Zen Center down in Lawrenceville. Uses a word called Zendo, simply the meditation hall. Outside the Zendo, a dog barking, inside the Zendo too. Right. Second haiku. This is for JB. Getting lost, looking for the cemetery. Finding it eventually. And this last one was literally this afternoon, written, saw it this afternoon around 1 o'clock, the Shambhala Center in Highland Park. A dead squirrel on the meditation hall stoop, focused.
Wentworth protests too much, I think. How do you say, I have no poems, and then come up here and recite three haiku? Clearly, you have these poems. You. I'll deal with you later. Okay, next up, we've got Dimitri Lardis. Dimitri?
I just have one poem. It's called Padre. For Sylvia. I see your lie, I see your lie, swollen and pulsing, a fat tongue which worms around in my ear like a sweaty larva. I have endured with it there, writhing against your every muttered word. Father, I have had to renounce you. Your countless mouthpieces have misinterpreted your signs. An eye for an eye? I can no longer pretend to see your majesty flashing bright in the sun's eye, or woven like silver beads shimmering in the sky. I've mapped out whole constellations, shifting celestial bodies entangled in mythical wars with these eyes. Father, your prophets only breed spies. I've heard the truth sung in the cries of impoverished vocal strings as they warble to tie their sorrows into sounds. Tales of crusades, inquisitions, whole slaughterhouses institutionalized, deaf to the shriveled ears, choked with yellow wax of priests with pockets hemmed in golden lace. I felt these words burning in my mouth like a fire, like the holy fire used to purify heathens and liars. The fire that is said to eat away at souls, the red devil's tongue flickering as it suckles sinners. I'm a sinner, and that's no lie. Father, tell your choir to stop. I'm tired. Their self-righteous words deflated like popped and burst tires. Biblical verse more entangled than Satan's black beard of wire. Father, it's not that I'm naming you a liar. Rather, it's your entourage of choir boys and patriarchal hymns that neglect the most holy vagina, that sometimes gentle river with rushing tide, ushering life. Father, am I to expect that you too did not burst, screaming and crying, from some magnificent celestial slit, ripping bright across the entire sky? Thank you.
All right, our last reader tonight is going to be Ryan Reagan. Come on up, Ryan.
All right, thanks. I've got two here I'll read. The first one's called Window Left. Today I found the window pleading for motion, finding the day's occupants incapable of closing it. You know my shortcomings, still life with baggage, still life in paint disobeying time, still life for a woman intent on finding a god to care about the collapsing stars. It's still life, a home violently emptying its contents by the hour, interrupted by a child who's handed you the only toy left. A last hope pinned on dislodging something of value. You, the god, protesting, no, I only created you. I have nothing to do with the inanimate world of objects and relations. Only in a room this barren do you ask, who's left this open? I wonder if it's today you'll find the goldfish floating. I wonder if you'll go out to the lawn and scream at the occupant here, set fire to the belongings in the driveway, and then just beg for a storm to soak what won't be consumed. I can only suspect you want this open. There was once a mutual dependence on the lighthouse and those adrift. Can you really tell dusk from dawn based on the length of the shadows? Because from this angle, I can't even tell the season from the sunset, and I don't really care if it closes on my hands. Okay. And the next one's called Year of the Bear. We walked, breaking bone by bone, to the lake so you could show me the motionless bear you found on the morning you agreed to take your life. Not your actual life, just the latest life. These versions of the self never die easy without a body. You still want science, not story. I was certain it's hibernating, this heap of wet bromine fur, and you're predictably reticent, unfolding your Chinese placemat, gesturing, here, there is no year of the bear. And so I asked you to tell me the story of the girl from high school who was struck and killed trying to get deer off the interstate. It was never pointless, it was mating season, and momentarily she grasped that if that effort fails, everything fails, and so she passed hurtling through worlds, each failing in entirety. Light alone never could have prevented this. Do you want me to inspect the teeth, the gums? There's an impression of a snarl, half frozen by unspoken pains. I brought you to the lake to wash your feet, restore you to a simpler world, a mere disciple of grief. It was the last holy gesture I could think of, kept on a note card in my wallet, with only the hope left that it might find its proper hour. But it's evening now. And so I'm certain tomorrow there will be children born, taking souls from the constituent matter of chance, lungs carving the air with a roar that reveals death himself to be less than a bag in the wind. And if you can hear that, we can rest for a moment, tend to the hide, find what is graying, find places still warm and febrile, the rightful places to pass one life to the next.
Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you all for being here. I really hope you'll be here next week. It's the Squirrel Hill Poetry Workshop. They're wonderful poets, and I just want you to hear their work. It'll be so great. And we'll again have an open mic, and have a good week, everybody. You take care.